you know something. If I were God, you would never have a challenge. If I were God, everyone would love you and uplift you and care for you. If I were God, you'd never be lied on, cheated, talked about, or mistreated. If I were God, you would never be visited by sickness on a physical level, on an emotional level, on a mental level. If I were God, all of your relationships would be loving and smooth, clear evidence of what love looks like. If I were God, you would never have a financial issue. You would always have more than enough. Your cup would always, always, always be running over. If I were God, all of your days would be sunny. You would always have a pep in your step. Everything would go just as you wished it would go. That's why I'm not God. Because what I described to you that is my wish for you is that you would never have an opportunity to stretch and to grow. You would never have a need to discover that power that is within you that is greater than all of the challenges you have ever, are now, or ever will be challenged by. If I were God, and keep you in a nice, fluffy, cozy little world of your own. That's why I'm not God. Because we never grow in a cozy little place of our own. We don't have to. There's no inspiration to grow. There's no inspiration or need to use the tools that we have in our medicine. Life is about moments of homeostatic balance, when everything is just sweet, cool, and easy, where we get a moment to rest before life moves us into a coming moment of homeostatic imbalance. That's where we grow. We grow in our places of discomfort. We grow when we are challenged. We grow when we have to. In the heating and air conditioning field, I've told you this before, where you have a combined unit, it cools the house when you need it to be cooled, and it heats the house when you need it to be heated. And in the air conditioning and heating industry, they put this at 72 degrees. 72 degrees is called the comfort zone, where the heater doesn't have to work and the air conditioner doesn't have to work. Everything just gets to mellow out, chill, and shut down. There's another word, another name for the comfort zone in the heating and air conditioning business. And it's called the dead zone. If I were God, and you didn't have a challenge at all, I'm not wishing life for you. It would keep you in the dead zone. And there you would surely die. There would be no need to aspire. There would be no need to become a greater, a higher, a purer expression of who you and I are called to be. So that's why I'm not God. I would think I was helping you when what I really would be doing is hurting you, stunting you, stagnating you, killing you. One of my sister Rhonda, she's my only remaining sibling. Actually, she's the only remaining member of my initial family unit. She's the music person at Hope Church, where I was the pastor for 20 years. And one of her favorite joy songs that she would bust out with on Sunday mornings had these lyrics. I've had many tears and sorrows, many questions for tomorrow, many times when my heart had lost its song. Oh, but through every situation, God gave me blessed consolation. God let me know my trials come to make me strong. So I thank God for the mountains, and I thank God for the valleys, and I thank God for all the trials I've made it through. Because, church, if I'd never had a problem, I'd never know my God could solve. I'd never know what faith in God can do. When I first was at the Unity Church assisting Reverend Alan Stanley back in the early 80s in Miami, Florida, I was brought into a deep experience of what this unity teaching is all about. It's not about avoiding the issues of life. It's about having the strength to walk through. It's not about praying you will never have an encounter of needing to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's about the willingness and the courage to keep putting one foot in front of another foot, walking on through that valley. I've told you before, the valley of the shadow of death is made for walking through. It's not a valley where you're supposed to pitch a tent and settle in. It's for walking through. Some people I know don't even pitch a tent. They lay a cement foundation and build up their house. They're not walking through the valley. It's their place of residence. And many of them brag about the strength of their foundation and the strength of the walls of their brick house. And they tell you why they're stuck and living in the valley and who's to blame and what they did or what they did not do. Everybody has their choice. But this preacher's job, this preacher's business today, is to remind all of us that the valley is for walking through, and that nothing's going wrong when you're challenged. In fact, something's going right. That's why my testimony that I'm proud to testify is that I have had many tears and sorrows. My heart's been broken so bad I couldn't crawl out of bed. I have been so devastated I couldn't think straight. I've had such sadness in me that the singing birds in a blue sky next to a running stream couldn't bring me out of my funk. Where I went outside every day and stared at the sky and said, will my joy ever return? Will I ever be happy again? I thank God for those times. I've had times of living in New York City in my 20s where I had no money and I lived on 125th in the International House and had to walk to the village to go to the Negro Ensemble Company for my classes. Looking down the whole way I walked for a dime or a quarter that would make me so happy because it would allow me to take the subway back home after class. I thank God for those times. Yes, I've had many tears and sorrows, many questions for tomorrow, many times when my heart had lost its song. But church, through every situation, God gives me blessed consolation. God lets me know my trials come to make me strong. So I have learned to thank God for the mountains and to thank God for the valleys. And to thank God for the trials I have made it through. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because if I'd never had a problem, how could I ever know my God can solve me? How would I ever know what faith in God can do? When I was working with Reverend Stanley, he began to teach the basic Unity courses. I took a number of the Unity courses under the tutelage of Reverend Stanley. One of the first books that Unity students got during those days, and mind you, this is back in the beginning of the 80s. I don't know what the Unity programs look like today, but the first foundational book that Reverend Stanley presented us was called Lessons in Truth by Emily Cady. If you haven't heard of it, if you don't have it, I suggest you find it. Lessons in Truth, little lessons. And the first lesson in the book is bondage or liberty? Which? It's your choice. The same set of events can happen. People can be who they are doing what they do. Are you put in bondage or set at liberty? Your choice. It's always our choice. We tell things what they are. We tell our experience what it is. We call people names and believe they are the name we gave them because we have been given the power to name what is in our world. And when you name something something, you want to believe it's true, so you search and look for the evidence that proves what you say is true is true. I looked for different evidence when I was looking at my wife than I did when I was looking at my ex-wife. When I called her my wife, I loved her up and lifted her up. When through a series of choices on both our parts, she became my ex-wife, I didn't look for anything sweet about her. I wasn't looking for the good. I was looking for evidence to support my choice. Bondage or liberty, which? Last time I was here, about the third week of December, I gave the lyrics of a particular song. It was a song that came through me years ago, but this one little piece, one set in the lyrics was that, and still I hear the gentle voice that calls on me to make the choice to keep the story of my pain or to be free to live again. My choice. Sometimes the stories of our pain become our most prized treasure. We love the story of our pain, even if it costs us our happiness or our peace of mind. Some of our stories of our pain are so precious to us. To keep the story of my pain, or to be free to live again, my choice. Whatever he, she, or they did, whatever he, she, or they might do, whatever has happened in my life, I will call it what I want to call it and name it what I want to name it. A tragedy or an opportunity to triumph. No test, no testimony. No trial, no triumph. No roots digging deep down into the darkness of the earth. No blossoming tree on top of the ground. Everything about life is an opportunity and a blessing. Neil Donald Walsh said that every day in every way, we should remind ourselves that this is a day of opportunity for me to create myself anew. Not my mama, not my significant other, not my friends, not my boss, not my children, to create myself anew in the next greatest vision of the grandest version ever I have had of who I am, to rename me. If you catch yourself feeling like a victim, thinking you're a victim, sharing with others that you are a victim, bondage. If you share what you're going through or what you went through on your way to victory, liberty. The only reason why I've ever spoken about the molestation that occurred in my life at an early age at the hands of many people, I only mention it to tell you, look who I turned out to be. This is what I told Hope Church on our candle lighting service. Working my employment here at Unity of New York, it's not my job. My employment at Unity in the city in Boston, it's not my job. My employment at Hope Church, it's not my job. I've had two employment opportunities at the University of Massachusetts. One working as a counselor in the Veterans Affairs Department during the Vietnam War, and one as a janitor at the University of Massachusetts. I once was hired to be the director of all minority programs in the arts for the University of Northern Iowa in Waterloo. I was employed there. I've cleaned diesel engines. I've sold clothes. I've cleaned bathrooms and hotels. And I've shined shoes. And none of them were my job. I only have one job. To be the living, breathing evidence of the resurrecting power of Almighty God. Everywhere I go, with everybody I encounter. I told Hope Church on candlelight service, when my photograph and my obituary appear in the newspaper in our area, so many clerks in so many stores, Marshall's, Home Depot, Walmart, Liquor 44, Salvation Army, so many clerks are going to cry like a bunch of babies. Because I never ever came to any of them to try to get them to come to my church. I chose to bring the living, breathing presence of Christ to them. I've had more clerks share their testimonies of my impact on them than I've had people in the churches I've preached in for 40 some years. Speaking here today, it's one of my means of employment. It's not my job. My job takes place when I head out those doors and start walking to my car and shine the living light of Christ on everybody I encounter. That's my job. What does that job pay me? No money. Not a dollar. Not a quarter I find on the street. It gives me treasure in heaven. And I have found out in these 67 years that earthly treasure comes and goes. But treasure in heaven is eternal and everlasting. I almost never, ever, ever cry from sadness or despair, but I cry at least a dozen times a day by the beauty and wonder and awesomeness of this thing called living life that has shadowed life up and down, plenty and lack. It's people by people who like me and people who really hate me. And my job is to love it all. Not to give a hoot or a care about what you're doing. To mind my own business, which is taking on the mind of Christ to the best of my ability. So when you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams and your hopes have been crushed by some manifested scheme, when you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fear, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. God can work through we who praise Him. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord for the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you they drop powerless behind you when you praise. Praising the Lord is not praising someone or something outside of you. The Lord is your highest self, the you that remembers its Christ beingness, the you that has never left the presence of the Almighty One, the you that knows you are one with the Creator and all of creation, the you that cries a dozen times a day at the awesome opportunity of living an incarnation on planet Earth just for a dash of time. It doesn't matter what choices you've been living in, because we are all living in our choices. It doesn't matter how long you've been there. It doesn't matter if you are one of those people who has laid a foundation and built a brick house in the middle of the valley of the shadow. It is not too late to tear that thing down or to simply walk out of it and leave it there and keep on trucking with hope in your heart, with God in your mind, and with delight. If you start praising more, confusion won't be able to confuse you as much. Sadness won't make you as sad. Upset will be upset that it can't upset you. Praise is an antidote to the poison of thinking something's wrong and you have been forsaken. Joshua told the people, I don't care what God's your forefathers and foremothers worshipped. I don't care what gods you worshipped before coming into my presence. You can worship the fantasy of death or the truth of life. And whatever you choose, you will serve. So your brother Joshua just wants to say to you, choose you this day. This day, who you will serve. I'm so glad for this opportunity to have spoken my confession and my testimony of praise to each and every one of you, in hopes that you have been at least uplifted a bit and reminded just a smidgen of the great power that is within you.
Join me in believing that every time you take a deep cleansing breath, breathing in the breath of life and holding and releasing with an audible sigh. That sigh releases static electromagnetic energy from your field. The static electric energy of fear or shame or blame. We know that the most popular game on planet Earth throughout the many, many years of human existence has been the blame game. So thank you, Brother Leo, for guiding us into a deep remember right here, right now, at this time and in this place, that we can release and let go, and we can honor the great power of forgiveness. It is never too late to drop the rock we have been holding to stone someone or to stone ourselves. Music is inviting us to drop the rock, to let go. To let go of the story of our pain so that we can be free to live again. Refusing to forgive those in our world. It's like drinking poison, hoping they die. We don't want to do that anymore. And so, to the best of our ability, we release, we let go, we forgive ourselves and everyone. Just continue to breathe gently and deeply in a way that works for you. And contemplate the question that is presented to you. Bondage or liberty? Which peace.